And then he listed there in the middle of the chapter a long list of ways that we can serve and honor the Lord with our lives. He finishes the chapter with really one of the most important ways that Christians can be different than the world. And that is how we handle being hurt or attacked. Because it's always going to happen, isn't it? No matter whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get attacked. That's just life, because we're all sinners. But how we handle it, which should be different than the world, and I believe can be a very good testimony to the world when we handle it as a Christian instead of as a worldly person. So verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So evil for evil. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for how you lay things out for us, Lord, as a holy God. And you show us how different Christianity is from the world. And I pray tonight you would speak to our hearts in this matter of retaliation, revenge. Lord, that it would never be part of our behavior, our vocabulary, and Lord, that we would lean on you when these times come and behave as you would have us to, as Christ would. So thank you, and speak to our hearts. Have your will in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. So just very simply, verse 17, when evil has attacked you, God says what? Don't render evil for evil. In other words, don't retaliate. Don't give evil back. We've all been there as children, right? What's the first thing we do when our sibling hits us? We hit them back, right? And we think it's justified, because when our parents challenge us, he hit me first. She hit me first. It's in our nature, isn't it, to retaliate. It's just the way the old sinful man is. It's part of pride. But all through the scriptures we're told, I'll give you a couple of scriptures, 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing. So we see that in the scriptures we're never given permission to render evil for evil. And then it says in verse 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. The temptation when someone attacks us, let's be real, is to re-attack primarily with our tongue, isn't it? And a lot of times that counterattack isn't 100% honest. That's why these are in the verse together. We instead are trying to use our tongue to in some way hurt the other person. And that in the scriptures is called slander, which is evil, and we're told to avoid it. So that's why he says, don't render evil for evil and always be honest. But the tongue is our greatest weapon, is it not? Not only is it the member that causes the most trouble, according to James chapter 3, set on the fire of hell, it says, but it's also our strongest weapon of retaliation, which is why he says we have to always be honest in the sight of not just Christians, but all men. Amen? And Proverbs examples, let's look at them quickly, 11:9. So this matter of using the tongue to retaliate is not allowed, because usually when we think about evil for evil, we think about maybe physical, but it's not usually physical, is it? It's usually verbal. So Proverbs 11:9, and hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. So God says our neighbor can be destroyed with our mouth. Isn't that something? And then while you're in Proverbs, look at 26:28. And we could be in Proverbs the rest of the evening, as you know, because it has so much to say about the tongue. It says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. What an interesting statement. So a lying tongue hateth the people that it is hurting. It is a form of hate, which, as we know, not only is love action, but hate is action too. Right? He that spareth his rod hateth his son, for example. So God says that one of the ways that we tend to want to retaliate evil for evil is with our tongue, and it can hurt others, right? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And as we see here, a tongue can destroy a neighbor. So yes, the tongue can cause a lot of damage. When we were kids, we had that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, which is exactly not true. Because broken bones heal. Sometimes words can cause wounds that can last for years. So, back to our passage. Never render evil for evil. No man, saved or unsaved, it doesn't matter. And provide things honest in the sight of all men. So there he says, no man and all men. In other words, doesn't matter whether they're saved or lost. It's not the issue. The issue is how we choose to respond to evil. We're never allowed to retaliate with evil. And then he says, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So this is part of not rendering evil for evil, is getting along with people that we struggle to get along with. Live peaceably with all men. In Paul, in 1 Corinthians 4:12, tells us, one of the ways that this is possible as Christians. Now, this chapter talks about this very thing. Christians, in this particular passage, taking each other to court, and Paul is rebuking them for doing that, these Corinthian Christians, for taking Christians to court. He says, why not take it to your Christian brothers and sisters instead? Why take it to the heathen court system? In other words, Christians shouldn't be suing Christians. But he finishes all that by saying in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 4. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians 4. Or maybe I've got the wrong chapter. Oh no, it is 1 Corinthians 4:12. Sorry. He says, labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, what? We bless. Now, is that the first thing that comes to our mind when someone reviles us, is to bless them? And then it says, being persecuted, what? We suffer it. Again, when we're persecuted, our flesh definitely doesn't say, oh, I'm just going to take this. Our flesh wants to fight back in some way. And so while we're in 1 Corinthians, look at chapter 6 as well, verse 7. Which again is talking about Christians. Actually, this is the chapter about Christians suing one another. Chapter 6, verse 7. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Look at these questions Paul asks. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? If someone wrongs you, as we'll see in verse 19, what do? Give it to God. Amen? That just came to my mind, but we had to buy a new letterbox because we're rural. That was a law now. So we did. And night before last, somebody stole our letterbox. Who steals a letterbox? They just lifted it off the post and ripped the screws right out of the post and walked away with it. So I had to go buy a new one yesterday at Bunnings, and Hunter's out there, and he goes, "Oh, Granddad, if you ever saw the people that took your letterbox, what would you do?" I said, "I don't think I would do anything. I'm just going to trust God. God's in control." But he wanted to hear that I was going to punch him out or something. But that's what we want to do, isn't it? But God says no. Paul says, if you get reviled, bless. If you get persecuted, suffer it. Why not take the wrong, he says here in 1 Corinthians 6:7. Why don't you suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Just trust the Lord. So then he finishes with this very well-known statement here in verse 19. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In other words, this really comes down to two things. It comes down to trust, and it comes down to a belief in the sovereignty of God, doesn't it? Do we believe that God is completely sovereign over our lives, and do we believe that he knows everything that happens and will deal to it accordingly? And that's where the trust comes in. Because it's easy to sit back and say, well, you know, God isn't doing anything. Maybe I better step in and take matters into my own hands. Well, look how that worked out for Abraham and Sarah. They waited and they waited and said, well, we're going to have to take matters in our own hands here. And now 3,000 years later, people are still fighting over that bad decision, aren't they? So, no, he says, I will repay. God says, if something needs to happen to the person that's wronged you as my child, I will take care of it. That's where the trust comes in, isn't it? Is believing that God will take care of it if it needs to be taken care of. Proverbs 20:22, turn over there. This is the verse that, one of the verses that he is quoting here in Romans. Proverbs 20:22, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait upon the Lord, or wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. In other words, don't say, I'm going to fight back, I'm going to retaliate in some way. Just wait on God. That's the trust part. And that's why I said this is one of the most obvious ways that we can be a testimony to our family and our workmates, is when they watch us. You know, another one is how we handle trials in general. Do we throw our hands up in despair? Do we trust God? But when we're attacked in some way, either persecuted or someone attacks us with slander or their tongue in some way, how do we respond? And that's a great testimony to those around us when they see that we're just going to trust God. We believe God is sovereign, and we believe God keeps track of all these things. And if something needs to happen, God will take care of it. He says, I will repay. Was that not a promise? One of the promises of God that we can claim? I will repay. I'll take care of it. There's an example quickly over in Genesis 31 in the life of Jacob. Remember, he worked for Laban. Rachel was the prettiest. And so he worked for Laban for 7 years, and he snuck Leah in there because she was the eldest. And then he said, okay, now you got to work 7 more years for Rachel. And he just kept changing everything and cheating Jacob time and time again. And here in Genesis 31:12, this is when he said, well, because Laban was accusing him of stealing his cattle. He says, no, these are my cattle. And so he said, I'll tell you what, I'll just take the ones that are ring-straked. And then God worked a miracle, and most of the cattle got ring-straked and became Joseph's or Jacob's cattle. And this is God speaking. He said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled. God speaking, I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. This is God speaking directly to Jacob. He says, I've been watching. I know what's been happening. And Jacob ended up a very wealthy man, didn't he? Even though he kept being cheated and cheated and cheated, when he left Laban, he was extremely wealthy. But I like that God here says, I have seen Jacob. I know what's been happening, and I'll take care of you, in other words. Even though Laban has been cheating you and cheating you, I'll take care of it. And isn't that what he promises us? I will repay. God says, I'll take care of it. Don't fight back, because if you render evil for evil, then God won't do anything to that person. Now he has to do something to you for disobeying him. So you've changed the whole narrative. So, and then verse 20, he says, let's even go the extra mile here in Romans 12. Therefore, he's quoting Proverbs 25 here. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, I'm not saying I understand the coals of fire. There's a whole different number of viewpoints out there what that actually means. It doesn't really matter. But the point is, how does Jesus say we're to treat our enemies in Matthew 5? We're to love them, right? Love is action. So how do you love your enemies? People ask me that question all the time. How in the world can I love my enemies? I said, that has nothing to do with your feelings. Because your feelings are something you can't control. Your feelings are going to betray you all the time. That is not saying that you need to somehow reach inside and change your feelings and all of a sudden now you just love that person so much. No, but you can always be kind to that person and treat them, as he says here, with respect. And if they have a need, you can meet that need. You are loving them through your actions. And the feelings will probably follow. It's the same with bitterness. If you begin to pray for someone genuinely that has hurt you, if you continue to pray for them, God will slowly take that bitterness away. So if you have an opportunity to be a blessing to your enemy, do it. That's what God is saying. When he says, love your enemies, he doesn't say, change how you feel. But he does say, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. There it is, do good. Your actions. Which is exactly what this is saying here. If he's hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Which is not what our flesh would want to do, right? If we see our enemy starving to death, most of us would, our flesh would want to laugh about it. God says, no. Be kind to them. And leave it with God. And then he goes even further in verse 21 and says, be not overcome of evil. In other words, don't let evil ruin your life by causing you to be bitter or angry, which are sin behaviors. He says, instead, why not overcome evil with good? Why not actually go that extra mile and overcome that evil with kindness, with treating that person with kindness and helping to be a blessing to them? And he says, let's go to Luke 6. He says the same thing. But again, this is a trust thing, isn't it? Because it requires believing that God keeps track. It requires believing that God will do what needs to be done to step out of our retaliation box and show kindness to our enemies. That is a trust thing. Luke 6:27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. These are actions, aren't they? Do good, bless, pray for. Takes energy and time to pray for someone. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Sadly, the world knows these verses, and that's why we get people coming every month or so, they always have a good story, asking for petrol, asking for money. So, I just say, you know, I don't need to hear your story. We'll give you some petrol. If you need groceries, we'll give you some groceries. Because we have to. That's what the Bible says, right? So it's our choice. 1 Peter 3:9, let's turn over there, to live. This is as practical as it gets, amen? This not rendering evil for evil. This is, as they say, where the rubber hits the road. This is real. How do we treat those that have wronged us? Do we carry around bitterness? Do we gossip about them? Do we tell everybody else how they wronged us? Or do we trust God? And if given opportunity, show them kindness. 1 Peter 3:9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Look at what he says. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, look at this last phrase, that ye should inherit a blessing. So God actually promises a blessing upon us if we will learn to bless our enemies instead of rendering evil for evil. Can't get any more practical than this passage, really. Because we're all going to be hurt. We're all going to get attacked. And how we choose to handle that is obviously up to us. But God is saying, if you really believe that I know everything and that I see everything and that I care for my children, I will repay. You don't repay, I will repay, God says. You do the opposite of what your flesh wants to do. And be a blessing to that person. Pray for that person. Do good to that person. Let me handle the rest. That's trust, isn't it? That's faith in its purest form. Not rendering evil for evil. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for reminding us tonight of this amazing truth in our Christian lives. May we take it to heart, Lord, and learn how important it is that we never retaliate, but that we trust you. Let you deal to it in your timing and in your way. And Lord, you even promised you'd bless us as a result just for obeying this great truth. But may we obey it because we love you and we want to honor you and please you. So thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.